Yep.
All right, cool. All right, it is 6:30 and we have quorum, so let's call the April 19th Planning Commission meeting to order. We will start with a review of the minutes from the April 12th meeting. Once you've sufficiently read through, we'll entertain a motion to approve.
Make a motion.
There is a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion to approve and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, on to the public hearing for the zoning map amendment, R4 to general business. As we get started at 6:31, then we will open that to the public hearing portion.
Yeah, perfect. So I just pull this up on the map over here. Figure out what it is we're talking about. All right, so it's the city-initiated map amendment. The changes will be amended in the zoning map. The proposal is changes the zoning R4 to general business located at 2nd Street Southeast from Wilmer Avenue to Alena Avenue Southeast. Considering that all surrounding zoning is already classified as general business and multiple family, use will still be permitted by a conditional use permit for new developments. So staff recommendation, staff would like to rezone these properties to the correct spot zoning to allow for multifamily housing. A past amendment to the general business district now allows for multifamily housing, and there is no longer a need for these parcels to be zoned R4. So as you guys can see, I guess like you said, this is incorrect. This should be governmental, so this should be purple. But all of this here has been kind of just zoned R4. And so as you all are familiar, multiple business along First Street, on the east side of First Street, especially when they buy a lot on First Street, they buy a lot on Second Street as well, and then tear down a house and then put up parking. So there's another buyer thinking about doing that, but then they're gonna have to rezone, subdivide, and all this other stuff to like make it happen. And then I think just when we were looking at it, and on south of the Walmart here, as recently where Preserve on 24th went in, that was housing being built under the general business district as well with the conditional use permit. And so there's no restriction on density in general business. I mean, you could build as dense as you like in the general business district. That's probably something we should change. But like we were saying, I mean, so there's really no reason for this R4 island to exist. Like I said, I mean, so these lots up here might be existing nonconformities, but I mean, it's not like we're going to force people out or anything. This just would be if someone were to ever buy these lots, turn them into housing, then they can. Or if they want to do something else with them, I mean, they could. But yeah, so this has just kind of been standard practice, and it's really something that we really should kind of tamp down on and discourage, but we'll get to that, I think, once we amend the parking minimums in town, and it will no longer be required for them to have so much parking. So then, eventually, hopefully, we could see some of those parking lots turn back into actual residential lots and used for houses, which would be great.
Yeah.
So with that, I'll close it, and then I guess if anyone from the public wishes to speak for the public hearing kind of regarding the rezone from R4 to general business, this should be time to speak.
What they really could do, if you change it to general business, a lot of that property, those properties are already fourplexes, eightplexes, and 18-plexes, closer to Wilmer Avenue. But I know that there's, and I've sold several of those properties on 2nd Street in order for them to become parking lots, but I'm just curious, you said that they could go back to single-family dwellings?
Yeah. Well, it could go back to probably like, I'd probably say duplexes at a minimum.
Duplexes or yeah. R2 to R4.
Yeah, something like that. Duplexes, triplexes would all be able to happen.
Yeah. Just a question.
Yep.
On behalf of my cousin, she lives in Colorado and comes here in the summer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you say your name?
Oh, Lenine Johnson.
Okay, thank you.
And so she's on Second Street, and you have, what is it, five apartments there or something like that?
Yeah, this is a good fit over there.
And then she's, then there's a drive-through from Second to, I think, through Jimmy John's, and then she's the next house. So, this is all Greek to me, so.
Yeah.
She just wants to know why, when they're so, like, to make it commercial, because there's so many other empty buildings in town, and, you know, the mall, and what type of businesses and stuff would you put up?
Yeah, so this wouldn't necessarily be a catalyst to business development of Second Street. This is just more so, like, R4 island really doesn't need to exist. And so, like, when there was the amendment to the general business district years ago, this should have been changed. And so this won't have any effect on her. This isn't really...
It won't?
Nope. Won't change anything for her.
So she doesn't have to worry about her house being bulldozed?
No. Not gonna happen.
Okay, no, but I don't even have to be here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was easy.
Yeah, certainly. That's why people come out. That's why people should participate.
Okay, thank
you. Uh-huh. Yeah. I guess any of the commissioners have any questions?
So in the proposed, you have it listed from Wilmer Avenue to on Second Street. But what about on that one island on First Street between Wilmer Avenue? That one lot.
No.
Is that gonna stay?
No, that'll change too. I guess it's kind of. Yeah. I guess kind of Second Street. I guess kind of meaning that whole catch-all. Just kind of generally, because I mean that's why we didn't really list like particular parcels or anything. It was just more of that like general vicinity that
so
someone could look it up on a map.
It's the block between First and Second Street and Wilmer Avenue.
Yeah. Yep. That's what's changing.
I didn't notice that last.
Great catch. I would definitely make that. I would definitely note that before this goes to council, because it will get asked.
What? So, currently, this is R4. So we have a lot of apartments, multi-residential, and a few homes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if this changes to general business, how does that affect the homeowner if they decide to sell to another homeowner, not to a business, but to another homeowner?
They could sell it, yeah. So let's say things would probably get wonky if like someone knocked down a house or like a house burned down or something. Then like they'd have to like rebuild a duplex.
So then how does that affect their, let's say, their house insurance? So let's say the house is, okay, we can rebuild this for $250,000, but then you go to the city and says, well, you can't rebuild your house because you're in a general business and you're no longer in a housing district. So how does that affect the homeowner?
See, it's like currently we have the multifamily housing, but I guess like this is like the first wave of, I would say, like, pretty... consistent is not the word, but there's I think consecutive. So there's going to be this rezoning. We have like a text amendment for setbacks, but with that, we were going to do general, like there's general business too, and then eventually we're going to do the general business for north of Wilmer Avenue. And I think probably making that distinction to where single family could be allowed on the back half, and I guess we can make like an overlay for it. So that, I mean, that's a note that we can make on like the next wave of rezonings that's gonna happen for this, for north of Wilmer Avenue, that would address your concern. Because that is a good point.
All right, and then my other question would be the purpose, other than simplifying this process and the idea that you make it all general business, currently, the way it's laid out, general business can still buy, it's still a lot, they can still buy that lot, and they can do what they want with that lot.
Not really. So
they can't really be putting in parking lots like they've been doing.
Right. And the goal would be to discourage that, because like once we remove the parking minimums, then they won't need to. But because like the other part of this is that having parking in one of your densest districts doesn't make any sense. As like an exclusive use, like you would want that to be housing and not a parking lot.
Yeah. So are they getting variances to make that a parking lot since that's considered residential right now?
No, a lot of them have just been doing rezones. And so rezones or have you, but yeah, I mean it's just kind of that an old Wilmer thing.
I don't know if you can take anything from the public, but there's a number of homes up and down First Street in the general business district, and they've grandfathered in as residential, but they are under the knowledge that if they tear their house down or they sell their house, that it is in a general business district already, and so that it has to be sold for business use.
What do we? Do they all know that? I mean, all the homeowners know that?
Well, because we got like a rental. There's I'd say office space rental on First Street now, like 921 on First Street, and they function as it's a house, but it's a office. It's office space. It's all office space. So.
But the ordinance guarantee your right to keep the use if the zoning change. If you don't change the use, you can be there forever.
Well, an example is the house that's across the street from that Advanced Auto. There's a house there that was owned by an older elderly lady, and they sold that. But I thought the distinction was that if it ever burned down, they would not be able to rebuild a residence on that corner.
Yeah.
It has to be a community. The lot would be sold as a commercial lot.
Yeah, that's how it works. So you can't. So an existing nonconformity is fine, but you can't reconstruct an existing nonconformity.
To change the use, you need to be conforming the current ordinance zoning.
So what I'm hearing is back to my question, and if you had a fire and you wanted to rebuild, the city's saying because we changed it, you can't rebuild.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean that's something that we can change on one of the rezonings that we're gonna do here. Because like it's gonna be another map amendment where we create a different district where it's tighter setbacks, mm-hmm. And then with that one, I mean that's something that we could allow.
Okay, so if there's going to be another map amendment north of Wilmer, what's the urgency to get this done now and not just with that? So that, because I mean, let's face it, you bring up a good point, Steve. If somebody's house burns down between this amendment and the next one, they're hosed. God forbid it happens, right?
Yeah.
But so what's the urgency to do it now? If we're planning to do more north of Wilmer anyway. What's the hurry?
So I guess on this one, as far as I think like. Every time that like rezonings come before the council, one of the council members always brings up spot zoning. Every single time, he's always like, "Oh, well, like what happened with the Harlan Roner thing? Why can't we do it?" And he's like, "This random thing here is spot zoning." So this is just something that just needs to be corrected. That I think like we've kind of been moving towards. Like I said, when I say like pretty short order gonna happen, I mean you guys have already seen. I guess the southern part of like the GB2, but I think on the other one, when we put together the neighborhood one, it's like April now. I think you guys will probably see that at the end of May, probably like early June. So, I mean, there won't be like a lot of lag time. And like I said, I think by the time that person, if there was a fire and that person like went to build a permit, I think like we'd make it work as far as like this just needs to be permitted because this is going to change. So it wouldn't be something where we would hamstring somebody, you know, kind of understanding that there needed to be flexibility.
No offense, Justice, but who in the city determines that?
Determines what?
That they wouldn't be hamstrung.
Oh, it'd be in my department. So I mean, it'd be.
And what if you're gone?
In like the next couple months, I don't think so.
No, but in a year
from now. That change is gonna happen before then. Yeah.
I'm just looking at that small, tiny percentage that someone has a home. And then loses all their investment because of a change that we decided was approved, but then they have no out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, to them, it the only value at that point, I actually, my ex-mother-in-law had a house that was in Stillwater, and it was a residential house, and it was in a commercial area, it was exactly like this. And she had the same situation where she fortunately was in a very busy area, so she got bought by a business and could sell the house. But if she wanted to stay in the house value goes down because it's in a commercial district. But if you have, you know, so if you don't really have someone, and on this side, I don't know. If I'm just worried about us putting people out of a situation that then they lose a lot of investment.
And potentially doing it before we need to. It could be addressed later on.
Yeah, and I understand at some point you're saying it needs to. We need to do this and address it. It's just what things can we put in place to protect the existing situations? Much like we're saying, you know, that they're grandfathered in, that they're allowed these opportunities because of that. And eventually, if they can sell it, I mean, whether it's a house or to a business, they can probably sell it for whatever price they can get at the same, no matter who they go. I just don't want to, you know, see what I'm saying? I just don't want to put somebody at a potential loss.
Yeah, certainly. And so I guess kind of the, and so I guess like when I say like the rezone is going to happen, it's more of a, the other one is a text amendment. So it'd be a text amendment that would change it. So this is like a map amendment. Map amendments and text amendments are different. And so text amendments are the text of the district, what can be built in the district, like the setbacks, like the dimensions, et cetera, et cetera. The map amendment is like changing the actual designation for the property. And so the designation of the property would have to change first, and then once the, and then it would be a text amendment that would correct what you're talking about. And so I would say it's like this is the first part of a two-part process.
So who are the beneficiaries of this change?
I guess like the, it would be the legitimacy of the zoning, because like spot zoning undermines all other zoning, because it's like, oh well, like you can't do this. I was like, well, I just asked for a rezoning. Well, we can't grant that. And it's like, oh, well, like, you granted it for this. Like, why wouldn't you grant it for me? Which is kind of like the same thing of, like, how we dealt with, like, the whole like, grocery store situation. That was like a, I don't know. What was that? That was like
the one up by the Y?
Yeah. No, the one by,
no, the one by County Road 5.
Yeah.
Spot zoning is just, like, if you're going to spot zone, you might as well just, like, not zone, essentially. It's, like, the whole thing. And so, like I'm saying, I mean, like, it just needs to be cleaned up. That's like the whole thing. And so, I acknowledge though.
For a while, right? So
yeah,
okay.
But as long as the structure's not completely removed, the use stays the same.
Yep.
It's similar to a lake lot. You can't tear your house down and build a new one on Green Lake, but you can tear down everything but one wall. And that's considered an addition. So as long as they don't excavate the entire site and remove the existing, they should be able to replace that home back on that property.
Yep.
As a single family home, mm-hmm. If it's single family. Mm-hmm.
If they don't change the use can be the same forever.
Yeah. Sale or no sale.
No sale.
Yeah.
All
right. It'd have to be a total loss beyond the foundation.
I have no more questions.
That's a really good question, Steve. Any other questions?
Alrighty. Any other public input? Otherwise, we will close the public hearing at 6:49. And any other questions from commissioners? Otherwise, we would entertain a motion to approve the map amendment of the area in question from R4 to general business, from 2nd Street Southeast to Wilmer Avenue Southeast to Olina Avenue.
So I'll make the motion to get the vote on the record.
Okay.
And I'll second it with the addition of the from 1st Street to 2nd Street, Wilmer Avenue to Olina Avenue.
Yep.
So it includes that last little lone one.
That block. Yes. All right.
Really great distinction. Really great distinction.
All right, there's a motion and a second. We'll do this by a voice vote. Kelsey.
Aye.
Stacy.
Aye.
Ivan.
Aye.
Steve.
Nay.
Christopher.
Nay.
And chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. All right. So
then this goes to council and it needs to be a public hearing, and then from there we'll set the date for the public hearing, and then we'll have the public hearing. So yeah. before it's final. All right. Thank you. All right. So nightclub plan review. So overview. Douglas Finstra is requesting a plan review for a nightclub in an existing building. This property is zoned general business and located at Lakeland Drive Southeast, corner with 16th Avenue Southeast. Use is permitted with plan review according to Ordinance 1060-I2T. The proposal was sent to Engineering, WMU, Fire Department, and Police Department for comments. Fire Department, no major fire department concerns. At this point, they would have to look at fire alarm and sprinkler systems prior to this being approved. WPD, from the WPD standpoint, this location has been used as a nightclub at least 2 times in the past. Some concerns to be addressed would include improved exterior and parking lot lighting would be highly recommended to discourage fights and other illegal activities. WPD had responded to many noise complaints from music coming from the building, problems with exterior doors propped open, and even when they were closed, walls allowed sound to escape. Since those nightclubs left, there's been even more residential housing and apartments placed in the area. Noise complaints and people potentially walking through the area intoxicated, fighting, etc. are concerns of the residents. The gravel parking lots in the past had always been in such disrepair that access by emergency vehicles, especially large vehicles, could be hampered. WPD is not supportive of another nightclub at this location. And then I sent an email to Chief Felt just kind of regarding what his status was on the parking lot, if he required it to be paved. He said strongly advocated for it to be paved if it was going to go through at all. So just wanted to reference that. So then WMU comments, electrical for the building at 1300 Lakeland Drive Southeast that Doug Finstra wants to turn into a nightclub. We're good on the electric service as we are currently serving the building. Any upgrades to the transformer or electric service would all be at the owner's expense. Water, the existing building was water service, and there's a main accessible along 14th. The building has an 8-inch fire service shown, and the domestic should be good depending on remodeling plans. Engineering, so there's a separate letter for engineering that is further along in the packet. You're just going to turn a couple pages.
That's about the main thing?
Yep, Bolton and me. So these are pretty standard about what the requirements are. So the applicant shall obtain a work within city right-of-way excavation permit. All proposed parking areas shall be paved and include concrete, curb, and gutter around the perimeter. The applicant shall submit a survey. The applicant shall submit a grading plan for the review of the city of Wilmer. The applicant shall submit a stormwater management plan complete with existing and proposed drainage areas for the review of the city of Wilmer. The applicant shall submit a stormwater pollution prevention plan for the review of the city of Wilmer. Applicant shall obtain a MPCA NPDES construction stormwater permit, submit a copy of the permit to the city prior to any construction at site. Stormwater maintenance agreements will be required for any on-site stormwater management features. The applicant shall submit a site plan for the review of the city of Wilmer. The applicant shall submit a utility plan for the review of the city of Wilmer if any modifications are proposed for the existing utilities. The applicant shall submit a paving and striping plan complete with dimensions for review of the city of Wilmer. The applicant shall submit construction details for the view of the city of Wilmer, and the applicant shall submit lighting and landscaping plans for the review of the city of Wilmer.
There's more.
All right, and the applicant shall notify the city of Wilmer a minimum of 48 hours prior to construction at the site for inspection purposes, and all construction shall be in accordance with the city of Wilmer standards. All right. So, yep. So then staff recommendation. Staff recommends the approval of the plan review for the nightclub for the following reasons. Property is zoned general business. Lot minimum of 15,000 square feet is met. Necessary setbacks on all sides are met. Then it kind of lists the list of setbacks, and the nightclub is an approved use of plan review. So then I guess in the opinion of staff, a lot of the concerns that she felt mentioned were more things that could be addressed kind of on the back end of the approval. So we could do a sound test. I mean, we could really make them upgrade. It's like some of the remodel, is like some of the wall thickness in some places, and insulation to kind of mitigate sound. And then I think with the parking, or the parking lot, and like making them pave. So I think on our end, I think we view these as things that we could mitigate on the front end to make sure there are no issues. We need a photometric plan, all of these things to address the lighting concerns, the parking concerns, and I think some of the sound, excuse me, and some of the noise concerns. Then I guess also I think just living in town, I mean, I guess I've lived closer to the railroad than I haven't lived in the past, but I mean, I feel like you can hear the railroad kind of all over town, but that's probably different than actually hearing like a bass or a subwoofer in the middle of the night, you're trying to sleep. So, yeah, so with that, turn over you all. I guess, Doug, if you have anything you want to add.
Well, yeah, I in reviewing Jared Volge's comments and on the parking, unless there's some timing that could be allowed, I don't think that we would be able to complete the project and go through with the purchase because the curbing and the storm system and those kinds of things and all of the asks that Jared has would financially prohibit the capacity to do it for just unless it could be incrementally done, and I don't know that the city would allow that.
So, like, done in phases?
Yep.
Like, when? Like, what would be the timeline on that?
Well, it would probably be, the first timeline would probably be no curb and gutter, no paving, but just surface the parking lot with crushed concrete, class 5, and graded accordingly, probably for a year before they would actually be able to afford to do the requirements that that the city engineering is requiring. So.
And then what is the consequence of not conforming?
So
a year from now, a year and a half from now, right? So that's just my question.
Yep. So we would issue a temporary CO, and then temporary CO normally has conditions on them, and so that would be one of the conditions. And so then if that condition isn't followed, then it's, you can pull your CO, and then it's like a pretty hefty fine every single day. And so that has happened in the city, and we have brought people into compliance by doing that. When there was a transition from the building, from past building official to the current building official. So we got a temporary CO and then just didn't follow through. And then
got CO, is that just?
Certificate of occupancy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is notable. This is the first time Chief Felt really dissented on anything. Usually not his stance.
Any idea on how close it can be to a school?
Ooh. Can you bring it up on the screen so we can get a reference?
Yeah, because as far as like liquor licenses,
Which one is this? Is this the one out on 71?
The old Giovanni's.
Used to be Peps.
So just down the road from Lakeland.
Yeah. Well, operations probably wouldn't be during the school day.
They wouldn't be, but
when
it was a nightclub, Lakeland wasn't there. Now Lakeland's there. Yeah. Now you want to make it a nightclub again.
Does Giovanni's have a liquor license?
They do now.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so Giovanni's have a liquor license.
It does it just because they, if you sell to a new business, I don't think you automatically get the liquor license.
No, I mean, from a distance standpoint.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine. I mean, it's
1,000 feet or something.
Yeah, that's, I mean, from lot line to lot line, not building to building. So that's probably sufficient. Mm-hmm. If there was a boundary.
That's because, yeah, I saw Giovanni's was trying to sell. Yeah, they are. They're looking for someone to keep running the pizza business if they wanted to.
It's good pizza. Mm-hmm. Comments, Ivan?
What are the implications of not having the support of the police department?
I mean, they're one of the people that review things.
I'm sorry?
They are one of the people that review things. I mean, it's something definitely to think about. So, as Chief felt if he would rather see it paved than gravel.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be paved. Just because, I mean, that was his preference. So, I mean, any recommendations, I mean, they make on that end, I mean, I think that's enough to consider and require, like, make it a requirement.
So is it... Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay, go ahead.
Is it just the Giovanni's building, or is it...
No, it's the entire
the
thing.
The whole thing, right?
Whole thing.
Because there's a lot of parts to it. What's on the north side is...
The village.
The village, right?
Oh. And then Maple Street constructions in the middle.
Yeah, got it. So it's the whole thing. I gotcha.
Jenny, Giovanni's will probably remain. They're really going to only develop what's the white roof part of it. The business, which is Giovanni's and Maple Street Construction occupies only about 600 feet of the north end of that. Mm-hmm. Gray rectangle there.
Yep.
And Giovanni's rest of it.
So that was basically the same as Pep's nightclub
yep,
or something
yep,
that
yep.
was
That's
from
it.
A few years
yep.
back? Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I see. So the back side of the west side of the building.
The west side of the building.
Yeah, so it's paved.
Yep.
So
yeah,
so.
Is Giovanni's the current owner? Oh, is
Giovanni's the current owner? No, they are not. They are a tenant. Current owner is Robert and Margaret Fortman.
So is it within our purview to say, while Wilmer Police Department is highly recommending additional lighting, that is not highly recommended anymore, it's a requirement?
Yeah. Photometric plan has to be submitted, so.
Do we have a standard?
For a photometric plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, WMB requires them, and then Jason looks at them too. So the building official.
What's it based on?
So WMU has energy and candle foot requirements, because now, I mean, they're starting to look at light pollution as a pretty big thing. It was like
yep.
a recent change.
So it's not for usage, it's just candle foot for square footage in sense, or I mean, how do you determine?
Oh, like what's lit enough?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Mm.
Because I know, like, you know, it just varies depending on what the application is. I don't know if we have anything that kind of helps define that.
Yeah, I guess kind of we'd probably talk to Chief. I mean, I wonder if he has like a general idea of like what would be like an appropriate brightness.
Right, because I mean, the WPD's concern is safety, not light pollution.
Yeah,
I guess
so,
kind of
different. Which kind of counterintuitive, right?
And then what's the buildings around? Because I think that's housing all down there, right?
Yeah. So all of this is going to be. All this is going to be housing.
Potential.
I feel like those people would not be thrilled about a mag light to the east
or
of the
nightclub.
Yeah. Right. So then it goes back to, I think we've had discussions before about directional lighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can still have illumination, but you can direct it in such a way that it's not like in going across the southern side into the homes.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, like, then, like, I don't know, we'll probably have to look at, like, additional plantings or something, like trees to go up
and
to help with that.
And currently, if you are then now we got stormwater runoff concerns if we have paved rather than permeable. So non-permeable, permeable, then you've got stormwater potential issues, right? And how you manage your water.
Yeah.
I'm just talking, it doesn't matter.
So to me, that to mitigate some of the concerns, you would certainly want to have a sound requirement in there. You certainly would want a light requirement. You certainly want a paving requirement. Because, I mean, the big thing there is for me, the fact that it's a safety concern, right?
Yeah. Emergency vehicles not being able to get in.
Problem there.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And then we should have a discussion about security. Who's doing security? How are they licensed?
I don't.
Outside source?
Don't know if that has to do with our purview, it, does it?
It might not.
Yeah. So I think like regulating like business model is a little different. As like we can
go back and read.
The other three do have.
Yeah, certainly.
Yes,
certainly.
The control built.
We just got to fall within.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of on our end, I mean those are things and assurances. I mean that we can get before like a CO is issued. But I think like once we kind of talk to the owners and everything, kind of figure some things out. But
yeah, that's where the fire department, the you know, the police department, public works would all have their say of what they need to help manage the prop, you know, the city. So they would have things that they would request and put in that. And our job mostly is just, how does it fit within that category of what we're discussing?
Does it conform to the use?
Yeah.
So that means that we should wait for them to get.
So I mean, they can't really
consensus on.
This is a preliminary, right?
No, this is actionable.
This is the plan review itself.
All right.
Yeah, this is actionable. Wait, so what's your question, Ivan?
So in that case, we are deciding on things that we don't know what's the requirements of that will be met. So, are we considering something
that you can't insure?
Yes.
Oh no. So comments got to be met. Like they're not debatable.
Okay.
They're not debatable. Like I'm going through that right now. Like
okay.
Slade sent me an email, asked, well, what happens if I don't do this?
Mm-hmm.
I can shut the doors of your building, like tomorrow. That's what.
So what is the process per se, for.
Yeah, so anything in a comment letter, like I said, mm-hmm. non-negotiable. So there are things right now where a plat hasn't been signed because the stormwater was not submitted, and hasn't been signed for months, and they had to resubmit and get a new plat drawn because of this. Because, once again, not negotiable. So they can come, they can say, oh, well, we got construction, we got all this equipment rented, we're going to start today. If one thing is not approved, it will not be allowed. We will fine you into submission. And you will not be able to start until it's met. So all of the conditions that are set forth will have to be followed. I think the only thing that, and I mean, even talking to Chief Hutt, I mean, we'd have to see if the crushed concrete would be adequate for a temporary CO. But I mean, he'd maintain veto power on that if he felt like it wasn't. And so then if that was the case, then the answer would be no. So, yeah, so approving it tonight doesn't necessarily guarantee one that it can't, that it just, conceptually, it can happen, but let's say they try to deviate and go back on some of the things that are our requirements. They can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be able to open it. So we definitely have the power to enforce that. So yeah, like building officials have a lot of power on like keeping buildings open or not. And so that's kind of like the whole safety thing. So if you're ever concerned about safety of a building, whether or not they're going to follow what our recommendations were, what staff recommendations were, we can definitely follow through on it being enforced. So, mm-hmm.
So John, while I agree that the goal of the commission by the letter is, does it fit the use? But as I recall, there were seven sort of items and that we've talked about before. that when you when you're thinking about, it's not just use, right? There are other things in there. I tried to find them, I can't find them.
Oh yeah, the findings of fact. Yeah, yeah. So they're generally about ingress, egress. Does it have like a big thing that I think is like the vaguest that can be manipulated is how it fits into the surrounding character, and if it's going to depreciate surrounding properties, which I think you're probably already questioning me and ask. But that's like a big thing.
Are we still on open? Public discussion?
Oh, it's a plan review. It's a plan review. Yeah, so all discussion.
The findings of fact that you're looking for, they pertain to the to when it's a conditional use permit rather than a permitted outright because of the zone that it's in. But just for the sake of going over them, conditional use plan review with such conditions as the commission shall determine and attach conforms to the purpose and intent of the ordinance and is in conformity with the comprehensive land use plan of the city. There is no factual demonstration of substantial appreciable negative impacts on values to properties in the neighborhood from the proposed conditional use plan review. Again, conditional as opposed to outright. Conditional use plan review will not result in the destruction, loss, or damage of the natural, scenic, or historic feature of major importance to the community. That the conditional use plan review will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding properties for uses permitted in the district as zoned. That adequate utilities, access roads, stormwater management, other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. Adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress in such a manner as to minimize traffic congestion and maximize public safety in the public streets. And then the review will be designed, constructed, operated, managed in a manner that is compatible in appearance with the existing or intended character of the surrounding area or neighborhood. So, with the conditional. So, that's when there's conditions that are set by the commission on that use of that property.
There's a random clause like any reasonable. Planning commission can ask for any information to verify anything that they want for like discovery, but then the planning commission can also set its conditions within reason. And so that's why like the lighting and all that stuff, I mean that, those things, that's why they're non-negotiable. They have to happen.
Yeah, and it's an after fact, but if there's still rules, laws, regulations put in place, even if they were to open, you know, if other issues would arise, then there's other law enforcement things that occur. So. Mm-hmm.
I imagine if this did work out, this would be the site's nightclub's last last go around.
Last hurrah.
Any other questions?
So approval then, just so we understand, would be with the comments from utilities as well as the comment letter from B&M.
Yep.
So all of those conditions would be met. Yep. So that's part of the approval of the plan subject to meeting.
Yeah. And Jarrett submitted an extensive comment letter because she felt required it to be paved. So that is the... It's not that Chiefs felt comment was ignored. It was actually made things a little more intense.
So, and they're saying within that, applicants shall submit paving and striping plan complete with dimensions, et cetera, et cetera. So that really addresses that part of what
yep.
Chief Felt was looking at for the
mm-hmm.
for the gravel
mm-hmm.
for that part.
And the lighting, because he notes the lighting down there too.
Yeah. Yeah, so those, I think that letter, from the way I look at it, satisfies those caveats that Chief Felt had outlined in here with regards to, at least with the state of the lot there, and then the lighting, of course, in that first point. We would have those stipulations proposed of having to mitigate noise.
So that letter you're talking about is the engineering letter, where it's number three, it says, proposed parking area shall be paved
mm-hmm.
and include concrete curb or gutter around the perimeter.
And then number 13, too, is 13. About lighting.
Yep.
And many of the other standard things that occur.
Yeah, and so I imagine, for the phased parking plan, as long as the minimum requirements were met on the parking, like those were paved, I think we'd be good for the temporary CO, and then we'd probably set a hard date for next year sometime when it all needs to be paved. Unless Chief Fell is just like, no, it's not going to work. So, but I can get that answer tomorrow.
Well, that's not, the letter says all.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And so
it's just a question of when.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A year from now, or
yeah. 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 And so right. So if a temporary CO was issued, those things, they're temporary COs. They're not. You can't just ride on that forever.
Yeah,
you have to come to compliance. Yeah.
There's a definite sunset
yep.
to that.
100%, yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that would be applying the curb and then a basic first coat.
I guess I'd have to ask the building official and the engineer. Just kind
of. It sounded though. I don't think that they would allow it to be gravel.
Yeah. No.
When they open.
Yeah.
So
the only one that's not in here is sound.
Right. Yeah, because that's more something that, like I said, me and Jason could go do. So that's the building official. Like I said, whether that was sound tiles on the inside or something, but
would that be covered more by existing noise ordinances that are already on, rather than something we would have to stipulate for this
yeah.
particular plan?
Yeah, I think so.
Would a would a recommendation approval have to have language about that temporary certificate of occupancy?
No, that's something we work out on the back end. I mean, things have been approved, and then let's say something comes up, then Jason has discretion to issue temporary COs if he thinks it's necessary.
Okay.
So, yeah. So there's a lot of flexibility on our end to just kind of ensure that projects can happen. I think sometimes development can just be a little onerous. I think in situations like this, like I said, I mean, if Chief Felt really feels that it's non-negotiable, then it is. Then it will be enforced.
Sure.
Right, so while this says all, it could be, if I'm understanding this, it could be eventually all,
mm-hmm.
and that is dictated by the CO.
Yep.
So the CO is either agree early on, it all needs to be paid.
Yep.
In which case, the CO is issued, temporary or otherwise, unless all the requirements are met.
Yep.
But if you come to an agreement that it's 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year, whatever it is, then your temporary is until that time, and it better be done. It should be done by then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, absolutely has to.
All right, so a motion would be to approve the plan review for the nightclub at the building at 1300 Lakeland Drive Southeast, including all comments as submitted by utilities, fire, police, and engineering, if such a motion were to be made.
I make a motion to approve with conditions stated.
There's a motion, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Alright, motion and second. And we will do a voice vote. Kelsey.
Aye.
Stacy.
Nay.
Ivan.
Abstain.
Yes?
No,
I'm
no.
Abstaining.
Oh, abstaining, okay. Gotcha. Steve.
Aye.
Chris.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 4. Motion carries. Good discussion.
I feel like this is the most variance, man, we've had, like, on the planning commission.
I know. It's like we're usually a body of unanimous votes.
I am here for this.
We're not just a rubber stamp here. That's right.
I like this dissent.
We're not getting spring. We're all, like, little.
We're all grumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care what it is.
All right, Doug. Yeah, I'll be in touch. I'll contact Chief Bell, and we're going to talk about the temporary CO situation, then we'll meet and kind of talk about schedule kind of going forward.
Sounds good.
Yep. Thank you very much. All right.
Miscellany.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so I already did the... So we are a body of 7 now. Jasmine. So had Jasmine and Stephanie removed since they missed the well above 3 meetings. Jasmine just had... Things kind of shifted in life. She took a new job. I just really wasn't able to make it. And so she's like, her job was starting to run into the 6:30 start time, and she works like 30 minutes away, and also families. So, yeah, so now we're down to 7, so quorum's 5. So pretty solid. And then I guess just kind of going forward, next, I would say it's going to be a very busy summer. Very busy summer. Really important that like we try to maintain quorum kind of throughout the summer. A lot of big projects.
Don't do anything in July. I'm actually gone.
All right.
A whole month.
Wow.
I will be in Europe.
Oh, wow.
That's fair. All right.
It's taken 5 years to save that up. So.
They have Zoom in Europe, right?
Yeah. I have offered Zoom when I've traveled.
That is true. You have. You do that. You do that.
Yeah, it's different of the world.
The what's that?
Difference of hours is at 8 or 12.
Oh, yeah.
It's like... 12.
What part of Europe?
Well, I'm Prague and Budapest.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Czechia area.
Take your time. It's
a lot of big projects rolling through, a lot of purchase agreements. And so that's creation of new zoning districts, whole host of stuff. I think you guys get like a better idea when we send the agenda out for like the next meeting, early May. But yeah, a lot of big stuff happening in town. So
that's,
I think
that's good news, right?
Oh, it's great news. Great news. Yes, there's going
to
be a lot.
Can we make an agenda item to sort of just get, not high level, but bullet point of upcoming items? So at least
like a briefing, pre-briefing.
Yeah, we can get
online
set up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't read the minutes until I get here. I'm not kidding. I
mean, everybody else does.
Yeah. I know you guys spend hours beforehand, but if I could read them in the car, I would.
Certainly.
Minutes on tape.
Do you want a carpool? You can read it to me.
You guys got any other questions about anything?
I don't know if anybody else does. Alright, motion to adjourn if we don't have any other business.
I'll make a motion.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Yes, there is.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We are adjourned.